Well, hello, fellow baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to a little additional episode, episode 29.5, if you like, a sort of short interlude show, the Johnny and Josh show, as a sorbet to cleanse your palate in between our usual weekend shows. Now, my co-hosts, of course, are less sorbet, more sore losers. Bit of a segue, bit of a dodgy one. Great pleasure to welcome JC, Big Dave, and Eric. Nice to have a midweek chat, boys. How are we all?
Isn't it just...
It's the quartet. We haven't seen Dave in a while. Welcome back, David.
Yeah. Thank you. It's great to be here. I missed you guys big time.
The only reason why Dave is here is because it's Keith Hernandez's birthday today. That's why. So yes, happy birthday, Keith Hernandez.
Happy birthday. Nice game, pretty boy. Keith.
There we go.
68 years today. 68 wow. years young. Wow. Fantastic. Correct.
And the mustache is still beautiful.
Well, boys, we're dispensing with all the norms. So there's no religious reference. There's no noble numbers because obviously there's nobody that's retired 29.5, I'm assuming. We've got no COVID update. We're not even going to bother with a news roundup. We're just going to talk postseason baseball. And it's all kicking off. It's all getting very exciting. We'll start in the American League. It's all tied two apiece. I put a tweet out, boys. You may disagree, and I'll be interested to know if you do. Mm-hmm. I put a tweet out today saying all true baseball fans have to recognize that the series happening right now is happening in the NLCS. Great pitching, one-run ball games, walk-off hits. It's got it all. By comparison, Houston-Boston, massive blowouts in more than one game, flip-flopping, backwards and forwards, 1 minute one team's dominating, then the other. It's a shambles. JC, your thoughts?
Ghouli, I don't know about that. I mean, I think that first off,
so negative.
It's tied 2-2. So you have both teams are being very competitive in this series, a series that I think most people thought the neutral observer would have thought that the Astros would be running away with this, but the Red Sox have figured out a way to win some games, hitting grand slams. The grand slam is always sexy. And we've seen grand slams.
Chicks dig grand slams.
And you've had controversy. Last night, Laz Diaz, you've got two outs, 1-2 count on Jason Castro. He calls what by any definition is a ball. And, you know, set the Twitterverse wild. It's really interesting. I mentioned in our last show, Umpire Scorecards, which is just a great website. And they have sort of Twitter report cards that they put out. And they indicated that Diaz's performance in that game based on the regular strike zone was the worst performance of the playoffs. He only got 88% of the pitches correct. In slight defense of Laz, they have another metric, which is the overall consistency of the strike zone that the umpire establishes at the start of the game. So it's not the regular strike zone, but the one that they've established. And for that, he was at 97%. So hitters kind of knew what, and pitchers knew what to expect based on what he'd been calling throughout the game when you got to that last play with Castro. But when he misses that call, the floodgates open for the Red Sox, they lose that. So I think what makes this series exciting, Gouldy, is it's been very unpredictable, and it's been fun with a lot of offense.
So you're trying to tell me that his bad strike zone was very consistent. He was consistently bad.
No, that's actually not really correct, Dave. I've mentioned this before, is that as a player, all you want is that the umpire has a consistent strike zone. It may not be the traditional strike zone, but if you know the umpire's calling pitches consistently a quarter of an inch off the plate and will do that on every pitch, then it's fair for both sides. Everyone has to adjust to that. And so I'd rather see someone have the perfect strike zone, but if you're going to have a strike zone outside of it, if you're consistent about it.
I do understand that. But yeah.
Well, one thing I will say, though, guys, is whoever progresses to represent the American League, right now these two teams have put together 49 runs in total from four games. That doesn't suggest that they're pitching particularly well, or does it suggest that they're just both very good hitting sides?
I mean, I think it's always a combination of both. You've got offensive ballparks, right? You know, you're playing in Fenway right now where you're going to see some quality run scoring, but you have some hot bats and it's fun. To be honest, that's fun baseball to watch for me.
They can hit. They can definitely hit. And who are you scared of on either rotation right now? Is there anybody you're scared of?
I mean, nope. Greinke was throwing like 88 miles an hour yesterday. I mean, maybe 20 years ago, that was a reasonable fastball. Nowadays, that's like a changeup. And what was worse is his changeup was 86, so there wasn't even great differential.
Wow, yeah, that's terrible.
So when you see Greinke not throwing well, Sale has been wobbly. I think it's really very open-ended in the series on how it's going to play out because it's just...
That's just an up. That's not a change. That's just an up.
Yeah.
No change.
And when things went royally south for the Red Sox in game four, am I right in saying it was Eovaldi that came in as a relief pitcher? I mean, the world's been turned on its head. Certainly the world of baseball. It just seems the whole concept of
all the time this is happening now.
I know, this is what I mean. But I'm sort of surprised when I see it happening to certain teams, particularly certain teams that you sort of think would be more respectful of the way it's done. I mean, is the whole world becoming the Tampa Bay Rays?
I mean, it's crazy now. If a starting pitcher lasts six innings, it's amazing, right? Like, no pitcher's going to throw a complete game. Most of them are gone by the fourth or the fifth. It's just the nature of the game has completely changed.
It's bizarre. But it's the way it is.
It's bizarre because we're old. Right?
It doesn't even, they say, you know, don't try to outray the Rays, but even the Rays outrayed themselves last year when they took Snell out when he was, you know, cruising along. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is these guys are coming off a season last year that was only 60 something games. And now they had to go back to playing 162 games plus playoffs. I think they're tired. And, you know, and I think that they're trying to make up these innings any way they can, because I just think they're exhausted and they don't, and the quality's not there. So they're just trying to use the element of surprise by, you know, changing pitchers around rather than having that, you know, more dominant, steady presence who stays longer in the game.
So logical extension of that point, boys, are you suggesting that next season we'll be back to more normality because they won't be so tired because they've got used to it again?
No, because I think the analytics are telling them that making these sort of changes work to the bottom line, regardless of whether it makes the sport more or less attractive. It's interesting. Buster Olney, a really very prominent sports journalist, was tweeting today that he thought that they should change rules on how many pitchers can come in a game. Maybe there's a limit of four or five with the exception of injury or blowouts. And I'm not a fan of creating these rules to try and shift things the other way. I think you let the game play out and people have to figure out how to make changes. That's the beauty of baseball, right? Where someone makes a chess move and you make another move that sort of improves upon that. So I'm not for that, but it's definitely different and you either got to get used to it or, you know, be old man, get off my lawn. And
it would be interesting, you know, to think about, I'm going to make these pitchers active today. And that's your chess game to figure out how to get, you know, and it's equal because both teams have to make, you know, an equal amount of players active for that day. It could be, it's not what I would normally advocate, and I'm not advocating. I'm just saying it's interesting to think about.
And the big question, of course, is that this is ultimately working against one of the other key issues of the game, and that is trying to attract a younger audience, which means a quicker game, a more entertaining game. You have 9 pitching changes in one game, and you're guaranteed a 4-hour game instead of a 2.5, 3-hour game. And that counter to that aim of a faster, more watchable game. So you've got some issues here, and how are you going to deal with them?
I mean, you're right, Goldie. I mean, if what you're worried about is trying to shorten the length of games, limiting pitchers, and which they tried to do, right? Pitchers, you could no longer have the loogie, the left-handed one-out guy,
right?
Because pitchers had to throw longer, and that hasn't worked either. So maybe there does need to be a little bit more work on this, because that's going to speed up the game more than, you know, putting on a pitch clock and things of that nature.
You think that if it hasn't worked, you think they go back on it? No, right?
No, because I mean, I don't think it hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been good. It's been more of a neutral,
it's
right?
Nothing. It's kind of a nothing burger, as they say.
And of course, I should point out for our listeners that Game 5 is actually being recorded tonight, 10 p.m. British Summertime tonight. We're recording just before the game's kicking off. So by the time we come back, this series will be all over. And obviously, by the time you're listening to this show, you will know who's leading the series 3-2 in the best of 7 series. So the last thing I need to ask, guys, before we move on to the NLCS, is who do you think's going to win? It's all tied 2 apiece. Are you going Houston? Are you going Boston? JC?
Because my Red Sox fandom dates back to a period before the bandwagon got really large for them, I tend to be a little pessimistic. And so despite the Red Sox amazing run, I'm going to go with Houston.
Okay. Going with your head, not with your heart. I like that. Big Dave.
I think, that was the game they had to have last night, right? Because that guarantees they go back to Houston. That might have been the time that Boston had to put the hammer down, and they didn't. That was their chance, and they didn't take it. Having said that, Boston does have that Team of Destiny thing going a little bit, but I think they opened up the window a little too high for Houston. So I'm going to go with the Astros and Dusty Baker.
Okay, Eric.
I echo that as well. We all love Dusty. I think this is finally his time. He'll be no longer the bridesmaid. He'll finally get his first World Series win as a manager.
I would love nothing more than for Dusty to get a World Series ring. Totally deserving. And I'm as big a fan as the rest of you. But you know what, guys? I don't think the Houston starting pitching is, with the injury they've got, I don't think it's going to hold up. I think these Boston bats are really hot. I'm going to be the one that sticks his nose out there, and it's a big nose, and says, I'm very going those Bo Sox.
You should say, I'm going to put go stick Bo my Sox. Big hair out there.
Goldie, I appreciate that. For once in my life, I hope you're right.
Okay,
I'm
going to
stick my big Buffon out there and say it's Houston. Says
and that is a big Buffon, big guy. You know that. Okay, let's move it on. Let's move it on to the National League Championship Series, which has been, you talk about the other ones being a humdinger. This has been a true humdinger. I mean, walk-off wins, one-run game, all three of them, one-run games. And, you know, Braves leading last night with, what was it, 5-2, with only needed 6 outs to take a 3-0 lead. And then the Dodgers do what the Dodgers always seem capable of doing. And I have to say, guys, despite how well the Braves have played, I just watch every single game, and I'm just waiting for the Dodgers to win. I'm just waiting for them to score.
You should be. And now you've waited, and now it's going to happen.
But Goldie, you are right.
That series is over.
Hey, cool. I don't know about that. Done. I mean, Goldie, you are right. You know, as much as I was defending the AL series, that NL series was much watch baseball. I mean, if you want to show a person who's never watched the game or is not a fan some exciting baseball, show them the first three games.
Exciting baseball, boring Braves, exciting baseball. Interesting thing about the Braves is Jock Peterson's pearl necklace, let's be honest. All right, I mean,
and that's the most interesting thing in the postseason. So how's that a criticism?
You think everyone's boring. Yankees are boring, Braves are boring.
With those bad uniforms and their racist name. They're so, and their white flight from Atlanta to Cobb County. Ugh, get them out of there. Nobody wants to see that.
They don't see any of these teams though, right?
No, the Dodgers are very watchable. You can't.
The Dodgers are winners. They're front runners now. If you're not from LA, you're sort of like.
Yeah, but they're nice front runners.
They're not nice front runners. They spent $250 million more than the second highest payroll.
Got the coin, get out.
Hey, you're going to abuse me for being a Chelsea fan for the same reason. Then you're going to take it where it sticks, big guy.
Hey, Goldie, I can shift my opinions in a moment's notice. I reserve Goldie, that right.
Johnny, yes, Jesse.
Johnny Hot Takes back on the show. Did you see this? He's got a hot take
that
for
series,
everything.
Let me tell you, that series is over. Okay, that series is over. The Braves, that was their chance. They got lucky the first two games. Totally
what? Lucky?
Completely lucky with this junk. They're not good. They won 88 games or something. They're not good. They have one pitcher that scares you, and they beat him last night.
Excuse me.
The game where he pitched last night. Morton is the only guy that scares you. Morton and his slider. He's mortifying. All right. And there's nobody freed. Who cares?
Are you conveniently ignoring the fact that one, our starting rotation, Charlie Morton aside, suffered massive injuries throughout the season?
I don't care.
So we were literally down to one. We were down to one decent pitcher for any regularity of the season. Finally, we're getting Max Fried back, the Max Fried that we all love, that was the Max Fried of last season. And he is absolutely proving himself to be an ace. He's lights out. You've got Ian Anderson, for God's sake, in his sophomore season. Have you seen the record of his postseason performances? Unbelievable. You've got Ozzie Albies, who's one of the most exciting players in baseball to watch, had an amazing season. His enthusiasm is infectious. How can you call them boring?
All that aside, though, I mean, the thing that you have to really be nervous about if you're a Braves fan is that Bellinger is swinging the bat. I mean, you know, he had such a remarkably terrible season, and that he was even still on the team into the postseason was a bit surprising, but he's turned the corner. I mean, obviously the difference maker in the game that gave the Dodgers their first win. So, I mean, if he's swinging it the way he was in 2019, that just is such a boost, especially without Max Muncy.
It is, JC. Sorry, let me just answer that one, please, Dave.
Go ahead.
It is, JC. But one, the Braves have got their own first baseman starting to swing a seriously hot bat. Last night, nothing to go by. Freddie is back. Freddie is our skipper. Freddie is our leader. He sets the tone. Okay. Freddie is not striking out. Not if you're basing your opinion on last night. He is finding his swing just as Bellinger has found his. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the rest of the Dodger lineup. you know, look at the superstars of last season's postseason. Justin Turner, how poor has he been in this postseason?
Yeah, but Mookie Betts is
coming through. I agree.
And every day
Chris
that goes
Taylor,
by,
Chris Taylor has been
closer.
Better overall in the series.
Do you know what? Chris Taylor is somebody I picked up off the waiver wire. What a player. What a player.
Okay, fantasy.
Fantastic. Bob. Hey, I had to get it in there. But no, I agree. I mean, Chris Taylor.
You got Johnny Hot Take and Fantasy Bob.
What's going on with Muncy? Because every day that goes by, this series gets extended as another day that Muncy could come back, right?
My good, just stretching.
I don't know what the latest is on Muncy, but I know
it's called stretching his straws, Big Dave.
Now, let me tell you something about sports. There's something you don't know about sports.
What's that?
When you have an underdog, a bad team like the Atlanta Braves that won 88 games in like a totally crap division, right?
Yeah.
They're playing a team that won 107 games? In a great division.
Yeah.
And you get that close to going up 3-0 and then you choke on it. You can it. You bottle it. You have 6 outs to 3-0.
Yeah.
When that happens, you do not recover. It's
I don't
over.
Know. Here's the thing. Over. Dave, the Braves just need to win one of the next two at Dodger Stadium to get home to Atlanta. That's the key. So right now, I think that series is still hangs in the balance. If the Dodgers, you know, can do what they need to do.
You're thinking wrong.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. And not only that, but you're talking about this great Western division, the National League. Yeah, the Giants were great. You name me one other team in the West that had a 500 record.
Well, the Padres were good until the end.
They played 162 games, and did they win half of them? No, they didn't. Thank you. End of story. Move it on.
Well, because they played in a division with two monolithic teams.
Yeah, but they also played – those teams played in a division with two absolute horror sides who they were just beating up on a regular basis.
The Rockies were not a horror side. The D-backs were definitely a horror side.
The Phillies and the Mets and the Marlins. That's a mess.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, it's a great series. Come on, let's get out of the mire.
It's a great series. It's going to be over soon. We'll miss it when it's over. I want to see the Dodgers and the Astros. So, because you will not take your eyes off Joe Kelly. Because you can't take your eyes off Joe Kelly anyway. Because he's hilarious, and he's great, and he's always got something good with his beard, and he's just fun, right?
And
he's
his bobblehead, his bobblehead.
He's completely out of his mind. And if he's playing Houston, gonna be crazy. That's gonna be great.
He has the best bobblehead in Major League Baseball too. The one of him pouting.
I'm joking.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Johnny.
I just want to confirm something that Josh said earlier. I'm across, as you know, many, many Twitter sites, websites, etc. And the general feedback does seem to be, if you're not a supporter of any of these four sides, that these are four teams that very few people have any kind of affection for. That slightly surprises me, that all four are being written off. I mean, I understand it with the Astros, given that Trashcan Gate is still so fresh in the memory. But I don't quite understand it elsewhere. I mean, I think the Dodgers are a joy to watch. As much as I love to see them lose, I would have preferred the Giants to go through. I think they deserved it. At the end of the day, they're still an incredible team. And I love watching it. I don't get that mentality. So maybe that's something you guys can explain to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think David indicated it, right? They're just a high payroll team, and when you can go out and buy Scherzer and Trey Turner and other teams are grinding it out, it's hard to like them. The Red Sox, the problem is the bandwagon got just so big that Red Sox fans became a little insufferable, the ones that are sort of new to it. And so
yeah, I agree with that.
I'm right there with my insufferable friends.
Sully.
You got Trash Can Gate, and then I think David was right on Atlanta too. I mean, the white flight out to Cobb County.
Screw those guys.
I don't know if I would have put it in those terms, but yeah, Dave's on to something.
Okay. Well, quick prediction, as if I need to ask. NLCS, who's going to win it?
Oh, Braves in six.
Oh, we saw that coming.
The hot take did a flapjack right there.
Well, I'm sticking my neck out. I'm going Braves in seven. So it looks like I'm going to be 0-2 for the World Series. I'm going Braves in seven. And I agree with you, Josh. I think the Braves will win one of these two games in LA. And then all they've got to do is win one back in Atlanta. And I think that will be the key. What about you, Eric? Where's your fantasies lie?
I'm going
not in baseball. Don't ask him about his fantasy. I mean,
It's a family show. It's going to be Dodgers, it's going to be Dodgers,
lies in Thailand somewhere.
Dodgers, Dusty Baker, Playing his former team, managing his former team. And
you saw that when Dusty won their second game, he tied Casey Stengel for eighth all time in postseason wins.
That's right. Another reason why, and still zero World Series rings as a manager.
True story.
Actually, no matter who he plays again, manages against, of course, he's playing whether it's the Braves or the Dodgers, both teams he had prolific careers at. So, there.
Okay. Well, obviously, you're going Dodgers as well, Josh.
Yeah, I already said it. Yeah,
you said Dodgers. It. Okay. So let's just clarify. You're all in agreement for both the ALCS and the NLCS. I'm the only one willing to stick his head out for the two underdogs.
You're sticking your head out to go for your home team, the team that you love? That's not sticking your head out. Love the Braves.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but you can't. Josh, I'm not picking the Red Sox.
Josh is still picking the Red Sox. Exactly.
Yeah, Josh is definitely going to do that. That's a Josh move.
Short show. 28.5.
It's meant to be a sorbet. It's not a whole Sunday, for God's sake, Len Girl. Okay. Right. Well, depending on obviously how the next few games go, we may be recording our next show on either Sunday or Monday. Obviously, if there's a game 7 for the NLCS, which I think there will be, then that will be played on Sunday night. So keep an eye on all our social handles for when our new episode is released, all obviously reliant on what occurs with series clinches, when if they go to full games, etc. It's great to have your company. We're not doing any mailbags, we're not doing any news roundups. That'll be on the main show. It was just an update on pro season scenario. Thank you very much, boys, for your input. Even you, David. Get in touch on the Johnny and Josh show, whether that be on Twitter at Johnny and Josh or the Johnny and Josh show on Facebook. We do love to hear from you. If you've got any views on what we've said, get in touch and we'll get you on next weekend's show. But from all of us here, we're going to leave you with something a little bit special. You've dug this one out, Eric.
Absolutely. And actually, that'd be, because we might not, if it all goes according to plan for Johnny Gould's predictions, that we might not see the Dodgers in our next show. And just in case we do not, I figure we'd do an homage, you know, because you know how I like to find a music piece, out of the ash, or phoenix out of the ashes, if you will, and reconstruct something that's been missing from our entertainment for years. Phil Foster, who was a comedian in Brooklyn in the 50s, he was a huge Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and he also is known as Frank DeFazio, Laverne from Laverne and Shirley, her dad, and on the show Laverne and Shirley, he owned that pizza joint, but he was also a comedian and a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and he went on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1957 when he heard that the Brooklyn Dodgers might move to LA. So he came out with a plea, with a song, and it goes something like this.
Say, did you hear the news about what's happening in Brooklyn? We really got the blues about what's happening in Brooklyn. It ain't official yet. We hope official it don't get. But beware, my friend, and let me warn you, they're thinking of taking the bums to California. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. will be their nemesis, cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove.
And that's just an excerpt. And it's a song that David and I loved in our childhood as well. I mean, I knew it by heart when I was a kid.
They didn't stay in Brooklyn, though, you know.
What's that?
They didn't stay in Brooklyn.
And unfortunately, Spoiler alert.
This song did not help. But Phil Foster was a comedic genius in the 50s. And
loved Laverne and Shirley.
Exactly. A friend of Gary Marshall, friend of Penny Marshall, who were also baseball fans.
Rest in peace.
Penny Marshall, of course, directed A League of Their Own.
Exactly.
Lots of baseball connections there.
Exactly. You should do a movie show, guys. I tell you, with the knowledge of this four ball. Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. Did I mention that one? No.
What are you talking about? There's only one baseball connection to that. That's Johnny Gould. Yeah. Yeah. But
guys, we've got to wrap it up. We're meant to be doing a little sorbet of a show. That is it. Yeah, that's it, I'm afraid, Dave. We've had enough of you for one day. We'll be back at the weekend. Thank you for everybody for listening. And guess what? Shock horror. Do you know what? I think this is a great piece of music. Funny lyrics, very catchy. And I wish they had stayed in Brooklyn. We'll leave you with a whole song. Enjoy. Till next time. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn by Phil Foster.
Say, did you hear the news about what's happening in Brooklyn? We really got the blues about what's happening in Brooklyn. It ain't official yet. We hope official it don't get. But beware, my friend, and let me warn you. They're thinking of taking the bums to California. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. will be their nemesis. Cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove. Mr. Walter O'Malley, we always called you Pally. We stuck with you through thick and thin. But if you take away the Dodgers, guys like Cappy, Nuke, and Hodges, we ain't your pal no more the way we've been. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. Our house is not a home without some love. Don't let them leave our premises. L.A. would be their nemesis. Cause Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove. We offer our bridges. You can thank them witches. We have a couple we could spare. But we all feel so glum. Without the Duke and Gilliam, we need one left to jump off in despair. Really, what would Brooklyn be without the Dodgers? Well, Brooklyn would be like a pair of socks that's holy, without Jackson and Simoli. Like a bed without a pillar, without Erskine and Perilla. Like a ship without a harbor, without Padres and the Barber. Like the sun without its shine, without Zimmer and Levine. Like the birds without a bee, without Alston and Pee Wee. And here I am, a poet, and I didn't even know it. So send the Phils to Trenton, the Giants to St. Paul. But keep the bums in Brooklyn, the greatest ball of all. So let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. You heard our plea, at last we had our say. Your mind is in the park, if you take them to that spot. Leave the Dodgers in Brooklyn, USA. We really love them, keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. O'Malley, USA. Do me one favor, mind your own business and stay home. Don't leave town.